Today on Excellent Leadership with Sam Adeyemi.
There's nothing God can't give you after giving Christ. And I want you to think about what you will give to God. I want to ask you to give yourself today, knowing that even yourself is not good enough for him. But at least that's the starting point. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. And we start from verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." So let's title our discussion today, Excelling in Giving. Excelling in giving. The ultimate giver is God. The ultimate giver is God. Paul the Apostle is challenging the Corinthian church that they needed, having excelled in everything else, to excel in the grace of giving. But our ultimate giver is God. John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son." The first thing we notice is that God's love is the motivation for his giving. Or should we say God's giving is motivated by love. Secondly, that God's giving is sacrificial. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Very important. 1 John 3:16 says this is how we recognize love, in that he laid down his life for us. And so we also ought to love our brethren. God's motivation for giving is love. So we can say that giving is the major proof of love. Now, when you love someone, it's important for you to say it. But saying it is not enough. You can say it without meaning it. Okay? Saying it is not enough. You need to prove it. And the greater proof of love is giving. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." I like that. "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." You can say, "I love you from today till tomorrow," but not show the actions that prove that you love me. The proof, primary proof of love, is giving. So God's motivation for giving is love. Our own greatest motivation for giving is also love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." We love him because he first loved us. Well, For God so loved the world that he gave. Well, for we so loved the Lord that we give. The motivation for giving is love. What really can we give that will truly reflect what God deserves? What can we give that will truly reflect what God deserves? Ourselves. That's the most that we got. Ourselves. He gave his only begotten Son, the second person of the Trinity. God gave God, literally. The best that we can give is ourselves. So, Paul was telling the church in Corinth, the Macedonians, they did not give the way we expected. It was material things we were discussing. He said, but they first of all gave themselves to the Lord, and then they gave themselves to us. Amazing. So, money and material things rank low in the order of things that we can give God. The human soul is the most valuable asset on planet Earth. That most valuable asset is the first thing to give God. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Can you see the ranking? He did not spare his own son. He gave him up for us all. Since he gave the son, what else can he not give? So he says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see the ranking? Anyone that can give a human being can give anything else. That's the way it works. Okay? So the most valuable asset that we can give is ourselves. So in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 5, again, Paul the Apostle said, and not only as we had hoped, but the first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. The motivation for our giving to God is love. We give because we love him. He gave to us because he loved us. How do we know that he loved us? He gave himself to us. This is how we recognize his love for us. He gave himself for us. I can't say that many times enough. Many today do not have a good appreciation of the sacrifice of Christ. And you know the result? It makes their affection for God shallow. When someone does not have a good appreciation, a good sense of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, of what it cost God to arrange for our freedom, our salvation from sin, it makes our affection for God shallow. The first generation of Christians were willing to lay down their lives. You wonder why? Because they saw Jesus pay the price live. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, even Paul that was not there, said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's no longer I that live, it is Christ that lives in me. He said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, listen to this, who loved me and gave himself for me. That was the language of the first generation of Christians. He loved me. He gave himself for me. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, Paul the Apostle said, let us love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. That's the language. Loved us and gave himself for us. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. That was the language. You go further down in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Help me to tell the person sitting next to you, he gave himself for you. That was the language. That was the language that Christians spoke, the first generation of Christians. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for us. Why? They saw it. They saw him do it. They were there when he was arrested. They were there when he was mocked. When he was tried. They were there. When their Lord and Master, the Messiah, was shamed. They were there. They were there when his robe was taken away and they put another robe on him. And they made a crown from thorns, put the crown on his head and used a rod to beat it in. And the thorns pierced the veins in his head and blood flowed down. When they tore his beard, they were there. They were there when he was beaten with horsewhip. And the horsewhip tore into his flesh. They were there. They were there when he was made to carry a heavy wooden cross over a long distance. And he fell and stood and fell and stood in the process. They were there. They were there when they put his hand to that cross and hammered the nail in on his left hand, hammered it in on his right hand. They put his 2 feet on each other and hammered the nail in. And then the cross was lifted up and he was hanging by his weight. They were there. He was half naked, their Lord and their Master. Their language was, and gave himself for us, and gave himself for us. They knew what it meant for God to love them. They knew it. So when John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. He knew what he was saying. We only quote it as a verse of scripture. He was not quoting any scripture. He was describing his experience. We saw his love. We experienced his love. The reason why we're willing to die for him is because he was willing to die for us. See? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul the Apostle said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That is the foundation of the Christian message. Paul the Apostle said, it does not need embellishment. This one is not a matter of oratory. The power in Christianity is in this message that Christ died. He was crucified. That's it. I believe that every Christian needs to be fed a good diet of Christ crucified messages for our values to be in place. For us to have a healthy dose of affection for God. Having seen Christ crucified, his disciples were prepared to lay down his own lives for him also. And it showed in the way they gave. Because they were willing to literally lay down their lives. So when it came to giving in church, giving to God's work, let me read Acts chapter 4, verses 33 to 35. It says, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as everyone had need. These were God lovers. These were, so when it came to giving, they were not quarreling over percentages. They were selling lands, selling houses, Oh my God. Because it was a matter of love. They were not under compulsion from anybody. Anything that had to do with Jesus, that had to do with God, they were willing to pay any price to make sure that it worked well. We need to find that back in our own day and age. So let me describe what it's like to be a God lover. David in the Bible was a God lover. The day David fought Goliath, it wasn't just because he wanted to marry the king's daughter or because he wanted to get some little bit of money from the king. David fought Goliath because of his passion for God. When you read his words in 1 Samuel 17, he said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" It was God. He was thinking about somebody wanted to mess God up. David was not going to take it. David was a God lover. We all know that. He proved it. 2 Samuel 24, verse 24, he wanted to offer a sacrifice and somebody wanted to give him, okay? Arauna wanted to give him the things that he would use. Hear what he said, 2 Samuel 24, 24. Then the king said to Arauna, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which costs me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. That's amazing. If it comes to me giving something to God, I can't give something that is cheap. I can't give something that is free. He said, "So I'll buy it from you." 1 Chronicles 29, verses 3 to 5. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 3 to 5. David describing what he had stored up for the building of God's house. He said, "Moreover, because I have set my affection on the house of my God, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special treasure of gold and silver. 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses. The gold for things of gold and the silver for things of silver, and for all kinds of work to be done by the hands of craftsmen." Then he challenged everybody else. "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" Amazing. A God lover. The proof of love is giving. Not just giving, but sacrificial giving. The sense of value that you have for the person that you say you love will show in your willingness to sacrifice on the behalf of the person. Solomon continued from where his father stopped. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. 1 Kings 3, 3 to 4. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar." He had seen his father practice love for God. And Solomon loved the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when it came, therefore, to sacrificing to God, he didn't put any cap on it. He didn't put any limit on it. He just went to town, demonstrating his love. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The big question I want to ask today is, where are the God lovers of our generation? Where are the ones that have a good sense of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary? Where are the ones that are willing to give not just material things, but to give themselves first to the Lord? The first generation of Christians that saw Jesus die live knew what it meant for God to love them. Their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, disgraced, shamed, died on the cross for them. Oh my God, there was nothing that he could not give him. There was nothing that they could not give him. So, I believe that when people give in church, it's at different levels. But the giving of the God lover is different. And the one that does not love God cannot understand it. To the one who has not experienced the depth of God's love, you cannot understand what this romance is about, what this craziness is about. They can't understand it. Thank you, Lord. And they can't understand the fact that when you love God, that's where he also loves you like crazy. And he shows it. In Mark chapter 10, a man was asking Jesus, very wealthy man, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, obey the commandments. He said, I've been keeping them. Jesus said, there's just one more thing you lack. You are not sacrificial yet in your love. Sell everything you have. Distribute to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me. And the man ran away. And when he left, Jesus said, you see what I'm talking about? How difficult it will be for rich people to enter God's kingdom. The disciples said, if that's the case of a rich man, what hope do we have? Jesus said, the things that are impossible with God with men are possible with God. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God, Jesus said. So let me read Mark 10, 28 to 31. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I was about 7 or 8 years old. In those days, we lived in northern Nigeria. There were no TV sets where we lived. We only listened to the radio in the evening. But there was a broadcast station all the way from Monrovia, Liberia. It was called Elwa, Radio Elwa. And my dad would put the radio on to that frequency, and we would listen to it. It was a Christian radio station, broadcasting all the way from Monrovia, Liberia. Now, remember that evening. I'll never forget it. There was a choir singing. It was a song in one of our local languages here in Nigeria. What they said translated to this: I'm going to spread the news. I'm going to spread the news. The death of Jesus on the cross, on a tree. I'm going to spread the news all over the world. I don't know what it was. Well, now I can explain. It was the Holy Spirit. Something came on me. Young boy. Something came on me and tears welled up in my eyes. That song adequately communicated the price that Jesus paid on the cross. The painful price that Jesus paid on the cross. And, I mean, tears welled up in my eyes. I was crying, a young boy. And I believe that was the first day I had a sensing that I would speak on the behalf of Jesus Christ all over the world. It was the message of the sacrifice of the cross that gripped my heart. The next day, we had this bus from my dad's office that picked the kids, the children of the staff, to school. I was in the bus on the way to school. The moment I sighted trees, the song came back. The tears came back in my eyes, as young as I was. When you understand the measure of the love of God for you, you will love him back. When he loved you, he gave his son. When you love him back, you will give yourself. And listen to me. If you can give yourself, there's absolutely nothing else that you cannot give. The kind of giving that demonstrates New Testament love, the New Testament love of a Christian for God, is sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. Thank you, Jesus. I grew up in Christianity to know sacrifice, to know demonstrating the love of God. And today I just want to ask you to meditate for a minute on the love of Jesus Christ for you. Will you please bow your head for a minute and just meditate on the sacrifice of Jesus for you? I want you to just think over the shame and the pain, the trial before people that should not have been talking to him, the mocking, the scourging with horsewhip. I want you to think over carrying that heavy wooden cross, the driving of the nails through his hands, the driving of the nail through his feet, the piercing of his side by the sword. I want you to meditate on God's love for you. And Romans 8:32 says, if God did not spare his son but gave him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? There's nothing God can't give you after giving Christ. And I want you to think about what you will give to God. I want to ask you to give yourself today, knowing that even yourself is not good enough for him. But at least that's the starting point. That's the best you could offer. Give yourself to God. And along with that, if you can give yourself, there's nothing else you shouldn't be able to give him. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, whom you sacrificed on our behalf, we ask, Heavenly Father, for revelation that every single one of us will have a clear sensing of the depth of your love for us. Let the Holy Spirit bring us to the place of awareness of how much you love us, and how, since you gave your only son for us, there's nothing else you cannot give with him also. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you because your love will provoke in us a love for you. Teach us to know you. Teach us to love you. Teach us to love you with the whole of our beings. That's the greatest commandment, to love you with all our heart and mind and strength. Help us, Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father.